visionary science futurist, has passed away. We now know more about Delta's updated business plan. And the FAA will audit 118 airlines for inspection compliance. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 20th, 2008. Arthur C. Clarke has been revered for decades as a science fiction writer and futurist. He died early Wednesday after what the Associated Press reports were breathing problems associated with post-polio syndrome. Clarke was 90 and had been confined to a wheelchair in his final days. His writings filled more than 100 books. His most famous work of science fiction easily was 2001, A Space Odyssey. The personified computer we all remember from the Stanley Kubrick movie was named HAL, a three-letter name reportedly derived by subtracting one alphabet position from each initial of IBM. The thematic use of Also Sprach Zarathustra left a generation mistakenly calling the piece the theme from 2001. The term futurist is tossed around lightly, but Clarke's visions actually came true on a regular basis. He chaired the British Interplanetary Society in the 1930s and foresaw and wrote about communication satellites in 1945. In 1973, Clarke published Rendezvous with Rama, in which he created Project Spaceguard, an organization dedicated to tracking asteroids likely to intersect with the Earth. 33 years later, the scientists who founded the real thing named it Spaceguard in tribute. Clarke was a native of Somerset, England, but had lived in Sri Lanka since 1956. There, he was given honorary citizenship and pursued interests including underwater exploration. Of his individual statements, the best remembered was the third of his three laws, listed in Bartlett's familiar quotations. Any significantly advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic, unquote. Last year, upon turning 90, he made three birthday wishes: for the world to embrace cleaner energy resources, for a lasting peace in Sri Lanka, and for evidence of extraterrestrial beings, quote, I hope sooner rather than later, unquote. May he get all three. By the way, I thought 2001's HAL was a bit overdone as a character, until I saw how we were treated by the Aero News web server yesterday. Delta told its employees to expect more details this week on just how it would adjust its business plan to better match the current economic reality. Late Tuesday, it filled in those details. The airline offered buyout packages to 30,000 employees, expressing the hope that 2,000 would seize the opportunity to leave the company. Chief Financial Officer Ed Bastian said in a memo that as many as 45 jets will be grounded as flights and routes are cut. Delta is fighting what it says is an 87% increase in fuel prices in the past year, driving its Jet A bill $2 billion higher than last year. And yet, with the cuts, Bastian says Delta could still turn a profit in 2008. Hopefully, that prediction doesn't depend on merging with Northwest. That deal was said to be a non-starter unless the two groups of pilots could settle seniority issues in advance. The Associated Press reported yesterday that the pilots had reached an impasse and the Northwest group had suggested arbitration. The head of Delta's pilots union, Lee Moak, reportedly emailed AP to say there will be no binding arbitration, effectively killing the merger talks. Delta claims to have a solid plan for going it alone. It looks like we'll get to see if that works out. The Professional Airway System Specialists, that's the union representing FAA safety inspectors, has long been critical of the FAA's move away from actual on-site inspections of maintenance operations for safety violations, replacing it with analysis of data reported by the airlines themselves. Now, in the wake of the Southwest Airlines controversy, the agency announced on Tuesday it will review maintenance practices for all U.S. airlines. The Air Transport Association, representing the airlines, issued a statement applauding the audit, predicting it will demonstrate the Southwest case was an exception in an otherwise effective system. USA Today reports FAA inspectors will review the compliance of 118 individual airlines by June 30th. In a move it says it hopes will start a trend in the industry, Cirrus Design announced this week all buyers of new Cirrus aircraft ordered and received after January 1st this year will get the standard 2-year warranty coverage, all factory recommended maintenance, and coverage for any additional items that need replacement due to normal wear and tear for 24 months or 600 flight hours, whichever comes first. Called simply Cirrus Maintenance, the program also allows an option for 36 months and 900 hours on planes covered by the 3-year warranty. President and COO Brent Wouters calls Cirrus Maintenance a fundamental change in the way the company does business. Quote, Cirrus Maintenance is our most significant long-term commitment, operationally and financially, to making aircraft ownership easier, unquote. Brent is my guest today on the Aero News special feature. He'll tell us more. Up next on ANN, Boeing says the Air Force is making a $30 billion mistake. The A380 makes its first commercial flight into Europe. And Dubai will launch the region's sixth low-cost carrier. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 20th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. In the recent bid competition to provide the U.S. Air Force with its next aerial refueling tanker, Boeing tried to make the case that its trimmer 767-based tanker would save lots of fuel compared to the Airbus A330-based design that was ultimately chosen by the Air Force. On Monday, Boeing put a number on that difference, quoting a study it commissioned from Conklin and Dedecker Aviation Information. Boeing says that with oil at $100 a barrel, the Northrop Grumman Eads KC-45A tanker will swill $25 billion more in fuel over its projected 40-year lifespan than Boeing's design. If oil hits $125, make that almost $30 billion. Air Force figures show the service paid $6.6 billion for aviation fuel in 2006, but didn't consider fuel costs in evaluating the designs. The fuel consumption numbers in the study were derived from the passenger airliners on which the two competing tanker designs were based. Boeing has challenged the award of the contract to Northrop Grumman Eads, saying its own design was the lower-cost, lower-risk design. The Government Accountability Office will review the selection process used by the Air Force, compare it to the original request for proposal, and report its recommendations to Congress by late June. The Airbus A380 completed its first-ever commercial flight to Europe with a touchdown Tuesday at London Heathrow Airport. CNN reports Singapore Airlines flight SQ308 touched down at 2:51 p.m. with 449 passengers on board, many of whom paid a premium to book the historic flight. BBC Television covered the landing live. The A380 could seat more than 800 passengers in sardine configuration. Singapore Airlines, though, has its planes outfitted to accommodate 471 passengers in 12 luxury bedroom suites, 60 business class, and 399 economy class seats. When it flies full, Airbus claims the A380 is the most fuel-efficient passenger jet ever, based on fuel consumption per passenger mile. It's also claimed to be the quietest passenger jet ever built, both from the inside and the outside. Singapore Airlines is the only airline flying the plane so far, and will add its fourth A380 on a Singapore to Tokyo route on May 20th. Emirates, the state-owned Dubai-based airline, will become the second airline to get the plane in August. Emirates has more standing orders for the A380 than any other airline, and now it's about to get a new low-cost sister airline. About 35 million people live in the Persian Gulf region, many of them foreigners, and many of those are unskilled workers from South and East Asia. Dubai ruler Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum appears to envision air travel as a key means of transport for workers in all economic classes. Emirates is the largest Arab carrier and the world's ninth most profitable measured in revenue per passenger mile. That's according to the International Air Transport Association. But pricing for the new airline will not be set with just profit in mind. The state-owned news agency WAM reports that Maktoum has ordered the new airline to set prices based on, quote, the economic and living conditions to suit their incomes, unquote. Emirates already has 246 aircraft orders pending from Airbus and Boeing, worth over $60 billion U.S. Officials say the new low-cost carrier will buy or lease an unspecified additional number of single-aisle narrowbodies, either Boeing 737s or Airbus A320s. Dubai is also investing in air transport infrastructure beyond what many analysts believe the market can support. Dubai Airport reported handling over 34 million passengers last year. A new airport, capable of 120 million passengers annually, is being planned for construction. Remember that Go Airlines short-hop flight from Honolulu to Hilo, Hawaii on February 13th? You know, the one that continued 15 miles out over the ocean past Hilo at 21,000 feet? The one on which both the pilot and co-pilot are thought to have fallen asleep? Well, the air traffic control tapes have been obtained by KGMB Television. The station reports they reveal the pilots failed to respond to air traffic controllers 11 times. A controller started trying to contact Flight 1002 about 15 minutes after the plane left Honolulu. About 17 minutes later, the captain responded and the controller said, quote, "Guys, I've been trying to contact you for the last 90 to 100 miles. I understand you've passed Hilo. I'm going to turn you back to the northeast to get you back to the Hilo airport. Is there some kind of emergency situation going on?" Unquote. The captain is then heard responding, quote, "Oh, no emergency situation." Unquote. The National Transportation Safety Board has said the flight had no mechanical problems. The FAA is also investigating. Go's parent company, Phoenix-based Mesa Air Group, grounded both pilots for now. The flight turned back and did land safely with 40 passengers and one flight attendant. Still ahead, NASA gets industrial-strength opinions on its design for the Altair lunar lander. An Alitalia cargo flight makes an emergency landing at Logan. And two remarkable lawsuits are filed against American Airlines. You're listening to Aero News.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 20th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. First of all, if you're listening right now on your iPod during a meal, or you're just easily grossed out, here's a heads up. You're going to want to tune out in about 3 minutes when you hear the words, "and finally." I'm just warning you. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration has selected five companies to conduct a 210-day study to evaluate the agency's lunar lander design concepts. The awards total about $1.5 million. The largest individual contract is worth $350,000. The Houston Business Journal reports the judges will include Andrews Space, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and Odyssey Space Research of Houston. NASA's Constellation program is the umbrella program for the upcoming manned missions planned to the Moon and Mars. Constellation program scientists produced the concept for a lunar lander to carry four astronauts to the Moon's surface by 2020. Constellation Program Manager Jeff Hanley, based at the Johnson Space Center in Houston, says of the evaluations, quote, "These studies will provide valuable input for developing a sound set of requirements for the Altair lunar lander. Industry collaboration will provide insight for our planning and early design efforts for the spacecraft," unquote. Now, $350,000 may sound like a lot of money for advice, but I'll bet it's the cheapest thing the government buys from Boeing or Lockheed this decade. Four crew members aboard an Alitalia cargo flight bound for Miami received emergency medical attention after an emergency landing at Boston's Logan International Airport Tuesday night. The Boston Herald reports the crew declared the emergency after a cargo container carrying hazardous materials was breached and the crew smelled a strange odor. The Boeing MD-11 was inbound from Milan. It was met by airport fire crews and a hazardous materials team after a safe landing about 9:50 p.m. Eastern Time. The four crew members were monitored for signs of exposure to harmful chemicals, but none was hospitalized. A public safety source quoted by the Herald said the crew reported toxic and flammable substances were on board. Massport spokesman Phil Orlandella said fire crews examined the plane for hazards, and the aircraft was inspected at the airport Tuesday night for any structural damage. Skycaps for American Airlines are taking their employer to court, saying the carrier's $2 per bag fee for curbside check-in is taking money out of their pockets in the interest of corporate greed. The Skycaps say the fee has led to a marked drop-off in the amount of their tips, which, as in the case of food service workers, makes up most of their hourly pay. They say passengers either aren't willing to pay both a fee and a tip, or don't know the fee doesn't include the tip. USA Today reports the Skycaps demand American reimburse them for tips lost over the 3 years since that fee began. The only trouble is it's hard to determine just what the amount might be. Shannon Liss-Rorden, the lawyer who represents the Skycaps, observes, quote, "Some of these guys have worked for 20, 30, or 40 years as Skycaps. This is their profession. These guys' lives were devastated by this," unquote. American Airlines attorneys declined to comment on the case during the jury selection on Monday, but in an earlier filing, the airline itself issued a statement which said, in part, quote, "The evidence will show that customers understood the fee was not a tip for the Skycaps from day one. The evidence will further show that the plaintiffs cannot demonstrate any decrease in tip income resulting directly from Americans' implementation of the fee-based program," unquote. A 40-year career and still living on tips? I have three questions. First, is this not a profession ripe for a union? Second, what are the odds of this lawyer actually getting paid? And third, ever wonder why they're not called ground caps? All right, here it comes. And finally, last weekend, the Sunday Times of London published a list of its top 10 ways to get kicked off an airliner. It looks like they missed one. All Headline News reports that in March of 2007, a woman who has not been identified went to sleep on an American Airlines flight, and she later awoke from her sleep to find a sticky substance in her hair and a male stranger in the seat beside her, well, enjoying his own company. She was eventually calmed down by a flight attendant. The man was arrested when the plane landed. The woman has sued American Airlines, saying the creep next to her left his assigned seat to sit beside her as she slept, and the crew didn't take any action. The airline says its employees acted appropriately. You know, I'm thinking back on all those times I found airliner seats littered with peanuts, gum wrappers, and other stuff the cleaners didn't catch between flights. And you know what? Even at $4 a gallon, driving is looking better and better. That's the latest from Aero News. Now that we have all the ones and zeros flowing again, remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Cirrus Design's new president, Brent Wouters. We'll learn about Brent's years BC, as in before Cirrus, and hear more about Cirrus Maintenance, a new program in which the company picks up the cost of scheduled maintenance for the first 2 years or 600 hours. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.